Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number as promised. My good friend, I was going to say Dr. Roger Quindale.
Promoting me?
hey, it's,
I appreciate that, but... I'm retired.
It's good to have you on the air again, my friend. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. I mean, same numbers, everything. You know, it's like interesting.
Roger, we got a lot of things to talk about. There are a lot of things going on in the world and in this country. And it is so frustrating and frightening what we are up against in this country. And, so I wanted to talk about some of those things with you. And so I want to begin, Roger, with talking about the gun crisis. You know, everybody's excited, sitting back, waiting on legislation. For the first time in a long, long time, that somehow people believe is going to bring about some common sense gun laws. But I was reading an article today.
It would be nice.
So I was reading an article today from Tammy Baldwin, United States Senator Tammy Baldwin, who was tempering what she thinks is going to take place is. Everybody is thinking there's finally going to be some real change in the gun issues in the society. But she has clearly stated that she's not expecting much at all on gun reform measures. She downplayed the scope of any legislation that might come out of the ongoing bipartisan talks. But we keep hearing announcements that, you know, they're meeting, they're doing something bipartisan, and it's leading people to believe that we're finally going to have some meaningful gun legislation. But then she is clearly setting people up for the reality, and that's not to expect much at all. Now, one of the reasons that you can't expect much at all is this. Roger, listen to this. So... and I'm sure you're aware of it, but the top 10 senators on the Republican side who represent the NRA and are bankrolled by the NRA, listen to this. Mitt Romney has received $13,648,000 in his career from the NRA. Richard Burr, these are Republicans, $6,987,000. Roy Blunt, $4,556,000. Tom Tillis, $4,421,000. Marco Rubio, $3,303,000. Joni Ernst, $3,125,000. Josh Hawley, who's only been there a short period of time, $1,392,000. Mitch McConnell, $1,267,000. Ted Cruz, $200,000. All of these people are opposed to gun laws. Is it a coincidence, Roger? That
maybe, but the fact is that the medical bills for people injured would vastly is in the billions and billions of dollars. Just that, the people who are crippled. You know, you look at the murder rates and other gun deaths, and it's 0.02 per, you know, per 100,000, then we get to United States 5. And you go like, and we have 40,000 deaths, and other countries have one every other year or none. you know, it's just, it's unheard of what we allow, the violence, and to do what? We made a fetish out of guns. I'm not against guns, but I'm against idiots having guns. I'm against people with no training have guns. That just doesn't make any sense. I'm against taking the M16, which I used in Vietnam, is going to be used, you know, to just, what, target shoot kids in a school? You know, the fact that we're selling military weapons to kids, to young 18-year-olds, and then others who are even younger than that, you know, it comes up from Illinois to Kenosha, but they have these military weapons. And you buy 400 rounds of ammunition, and you go, like, well, what exactly, which duck are you going to shoot? Which deer? You're going to put 300 rounds in it and then eat it? It just doesn't make any sense. But so it's something way beyond, and irrational thinking isn't there.
So, Rob, you know, Roger, just, you're not there. You're a former elected official. So help us understand. I just rattled off a significant number of Republicans who have been bought off by the NRA.
I know.
And here's Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson made it clear why it's so difficult to get Republicans and Democrats to come together around gun safety. Solutions are overwhelmingly supported by American voters. On Tuesday, Johnson was asked about increasing the age to buy a gun to 21 and expanding background checks instead of talking about bipartisan efforts or indicating what he would support. He turned to attack Hunter Biden. The right has used President Joe Biden.
You know, that's the whole game.
Huh?
It's the game that they're creating, but with these horrendous consequences. The idea that we're supposed to, we're going to harden schools and we're going to have police at the doors and armed police, retired military, retired cops, and then we had active cops, and they just sit there. And who did they arrest? They arrest the
parents,
the mothers of the kids, of the children. And, you know, that one of them has to rescue a kid. But, you know, we let kids be murdered while you're listening. I just can't, I cannot understand what's going on.
Hey, but Roger, you are a former elected official. You know better than most of us who have never been in that seat. What is it? What is it about our elected officials that we can't get this done other than the money that these people have received?
This stuff has been going on for a while. But I would say one of the reasons I left is I've always believed you can disagree with people without being disagreeable. And I could work with elected officials on this issue or that issue who didn't really agree with me, but we could work on child welfare. We could work on juvenile justice reform. But all across the country, we have chaos. And we're not doing anything about it except fuel it with this. The idea that at a Bucks game, that people, you know, having a massive shootout, they're there to have fun, to drink, whatever they're doing on Third Street, you know, and all of a sudden it's a wild shootout. And, you know, I think we'd be grateful that they're such bad shots they can't kill each other, but it's still, it's the insanity of it, of like, you're here to have fun, and someone says the wrong word instead of, hey, man, take a sip and chill out. No, let's get our guns out.
Hey Roger,
gunfight.
You are a gun owner. Why are you not clamoring about your Second Amendment rights? What's different about you than the other folk on the other side who are saying, keep your hands off my Second Amendment rights?
But nobody, you know, if you read what it says, it has a well-regulated militia. So is our claim that 400 million guns are in the hands of a militia, an organized military force who have been trained and are using something that you have, a musket that has to be loaded one round at a time? If they were doing that on Third Street, maybe it wouldn't have shot so many people because it would have taken them a minute to reload each round. So it's one, they've just totally misread what it said. But but not have training and not have any rules and have, oh, yeah, we have these rules if you buy them at the gun store, but you can just go and buy them online. You can buy them from a vendor. You can just
without any background
eliminate all
checks.
That stuff.
No. Without any background,
no background checks, nothing. All we know is you're a hardened criminal or you're nuts or you've been expelled from school because you're violent and you just go and buy a gun as soon as you
so Roger,
age.
So
it
doesn't
make sense.
So, well, it does from the standpoint that money is more valuable than the lives of the people because the gun lobbies continue to, you know, make sure that there are more and more guns flooding, you know, our communities. We are the most dangerous place on the planet, and everybody knows it, but it keeps happening,
right? But the gun lobby isn't alone in this because there's also a medical lobby, a rehab lobby,
right?
And they, whether they say it or not, they're all involved in this because the medical cost, what we could do with that for young people to put them in something positive in the recreation programs that you ran, that I run,
yeah,
where you can change kids' lives and give them purpose and give them some sense of the other and some sense of that we're all part of this together. But instead, we make a fetish of guns, and nobody's saying get rid of all guns all time, blah, blah. It's just a lie.
Roger, we got to go to a break. Hold the thought. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, on the line is my guest, Roger Quindell. Listen to this, Roger, because these are the things that happen every day, and yet they don't get much notice. A 10-year-old girl in Florida is facing murder charges after shooting a woman that was fighting with her mother. Orlando police arrested the girl, whose name has not been disclosed to the public, was arrested on Tuesday for an incident that took place on May 30th. She is currently charged with second-degree murder, according to the WEIS News. This comes as the nation is calling for tighter gun control. The incident began at the Geranium Gardens Apartments at about 11:49, but this 10-year-old girl was able to grab her mother's weapon and without fear and shoot and kill this woman who was arguing with her mom. Look, nobody's saying, you know, Roger, that people don't have a right to own guns. You mentioned it earlier, over 400 million and counting in a nation that's 320 or 330 million people. And the fact that they continue to produce these guns and people continue to buy them is what's at the root of it.
Yep. And it's just
how many guns do you need, Roger? How many guns do you need?
Well, you know, when I was in a war zone, I had one.
I know.
One rifle. And we had a rat pistol, but I'm not going to count that because we didn't use live bullets. We used soap bullets, so we didn't splatter ourselves with the after fat, get the ricochet. But anyways, it's just staggering that we're locked in this thing that makes no sense. And we have 12 firearm deaths per 100,000 people in this country. And then you look at other countries and, Cuba, 0.5, United Kingdom, 0.2, Singapore, 0.02. It's just ridiculous. It's just bizarre that we have this fetish and we could do something. And people who want to lawfully, have weapons and go hunting, they'd have them. But to just pump the society full of it, and you're not held responsible when they're ripped off because you didn't have any safety precautions around, so they get stolen, they get this, they get, remember the Badger guns?
Yes.
1,100 weapons used in felonies, including murder and armed robbery and rapes and you name it. And the penalty was we took away his license.
But he gave it to his family members. They took the license away from him.
There was no penalty. They all worked there. And so, you know, like now his son pays him under the table. And people used to go in there and watch somebody go to the counter with a clean record and say, and be told by the guy with her, no, I want this and I want that and all good. So we allow people to get rich by making lives of just millions of people just miserable. Because it's not just the deaths, but the deaths affect the families. You know, we have the most expert people on gun injuries in the world because we have, you know, we have some of the high, you know, we have these incredibly high rates for an industrialized country. And so everybody is in a hospital is totally familiar with how to deal with emergency shootings, and why do we want to be experts in that?
So
why not be expert in fitness?
So you know, Roger, people don't have any idea about the cost of a person being shot and then winding up in the hospital, and what that costs, the emergency cost of that, and the treatment, and it's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, and so. Here it is. You can't get insurance if you have a medical issue. You can't get in the hospital, you know, without insurance for the most part, you know. But if somebody shot you, we're going to take you and let you accrue $300,000-$400,000 worth of debt. None of this stuff makes any sense.
I know. Well, it's not a rational thing. And the thing is, it's become something way beyond facts because, and that's why we can't solve it. If you talk about it and not in a meaningful way that, look, there's something wrong when we have 500 times as many gun deaths as country Y and country, you know, the other comparable countries. And we, you know, why would we want to, now that is our badge of honor around the world. This is the most dangerous, you know, developed country in the whole world.
Now, Roger, I want to change the subject right now and talk about
great
millions of vets sickened by burn pits and toxins. Yeah. And this came from the shock and awe under the first George Bush, where we went into Iraq, and wells were set on fire, oil wells, and our troops, our Americans, our heroes, went into Iraq and were exposed to. And I remember the conversations and the news media talking about it was bright daylight, but when they set all those wells on fire, it was during the day, and it was the smoke and the toxins were so heavy that it looked like night. And so all of those men and women who went supposedly to fight for democracy were exposed to all of those things in these burn pits and were dying by, you know, the truckload. And our government did not do the right thing by them, Roger. You were in Vietnam. You. Yeah. They didn't do right by the Vietnam vets.
But it's even worse than it because the element in Agent Orange, I have every picture I have, and I've been going through them because they're doing the Vietnam. They have a traveling memorial, the war memorial in Washington. They have a traveling one, and it's going to the small town of Sumner, Iowa, where my best friend, and we were so tight. And when you're in a war zone, you know people. You know exactly what they're like and who they are and everything. And we were just stone cold buddies and trust each other, their lives and all that. And he got killed, and so I've had to revisit all of this. But every picture I have is the jungle out here, you know, and it's a jungle, and then Everything on where I am is dead. Dead grass everywhere. Dead trees. Dead leaves. It's just, and that was all from what we sprayed.
Yeah, to kill.
The chemical was banned 14 years before that. It was banned. They buried a whole town, in Missouri. They buried the town because it was so toxic from producing it. And then somehow it gets resurrected in Vietnam, and we become the guinea pigs. And you know what the average life expectancy of a male in the U.S. is? The average male? 78. You know what it is for a Vietnam vet?
No.
64. Think about it. So just... That's not the people.
Hey, Roger, hold the thought. Roger, hold the thought. Yeah. We've got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Roger Quindale. And you know, Roger, I brought up this subject, and that's millions of vets sickened by burn pits toxins, and they have been denied care. Here's the real injustice of all of this. Sending young boys,
Hey, we were men. We were young men.
But listen.
And if you weren't, you were made a man real fast.
Well, yeah. So, this is, this is the dirty side of all of this. And we just celebrated Memorial Day. And so everybody says, thank you for your service. We honor the vets. Well, if people really saw what happens to vets after they're done putting their lives on the lines, they would be outraged. In this instance, they have just finally, more than 3.5 million veterans exposed to burn pits and other toxins while serving overseas will be eligible for health care and benefits under a bipartisan bill just signed into law this past Tuesday. Roger, I ask you, those men who have been who have suffered with all of the exposure and died because of the burn pits, including Joe Biden's son, for all these years, the answer was no. We're not going to help you. It didn't happen like that, and you got this from somewhere else. Well, now, finally, all these years later, now our government is saying, oh, okay, we're going to finally do the right thing. My thing is, you see a pattern here. Vietnam,
that's right.
Same kind of thing. So we as a country, instead of talking about we support the veterans, that we need to be making sure that after they do what they do, that they don't wind up dealing with these kinds of hardships.
Yes, and I will say one thing has happened over the years. When I got out of the service, and I had been really badly wounded and spent over 80 days in a hospital. I mean, it's not like I broke my fingernail or something, and near death and all this stuff, lose 35 pounds. And the VA was just atrocious. But over the years, because of public protest, especially around the Iraqi and Afghan vets who were stuck in, or Iraqi vets who were in, I remember Walter Reed and parents going out there, and I even know somebody like this, the parents who went out there and they ended up painting the room their kid, the hospital room their kid was in, because it was so grungy. And so it's changed, and I really like the VA, and I started going about 6 years ago to the VA. I never went for years because they treated me so poorly, about injuries, and then mine wasn't like some dispute, you know, like, what do you think eight facial fractures does to your head and part of your skull removed, and what do you think that does to you? You think it has no consequences? But they've cleaned that up, but they need to go to the other level. And we shouldn't allow manufacturers of things to determine what's safe and not. We have to have a system where we, and when we have reports of ill effects, it wasn't like we didn't know about Agent Orange. How could you see it and not think something was wrong when everything is dead and it dies in days and creates fire hazards everywhere you go? You know, because everything is dead, and you're going to
well,
that's
well
how you
but
make
but Roger, so the point here is, even after Agent Orange, our government didn't learn its lesson. The burn pits. A
they
burn
only learn
pit,
their lesson when there's public protest.
A burn pit
it's
is
only an, protest and fight.
A burn pit, you know, is an open air trench where waste is burned, and was a common disposal method at military sites in Iraq and Afghanistan, according to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Pits were used to dispose of chemicals, paint, medical and human waste, munitions, and other potentially hazardous materials. The VA in 2014 established a registry in response to concerns of respiratory illnesses potentially caused by exposure to burn pits. 1 month prior to the cancer diagnosis, we learned that this particular gentleman had a rare mucous membrane autoimmune disease that caused him to have recurring gushing nosebleeds and bleeding from his ears, said Zaire. Needless to say, he spent his final 3 years on Earth battling the war that followed him home. That's what we're talking about, Roger. You know, and,
I know.
And how many people even know that has happened, Roger?
I mean, we just went through all these services, but you'd be seen as disruptive if you raised these issues. That's how it was for years. I mean, I tried to, you know, especially in the Midwest, man, they were hostile to it. I was in a chapter of the Disabled American Veterans, and we got, I mean, the VFW, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and we got kicked out of the VFW. Because we had all these concerns about the Vietnam War, and we had been there. I mean, think about it. They just kicked us out. We're not a chapter anymore.
So
I mean, you go like, that's how you treat dissent in the land of the freedom of speech.
So listen to this.
So, you know, there's a lot of hypocrisy in this country.
So
it's unfortunate.
You know, Zaire said Heath Robinson's wife, Danielle Robinson, applied to the VA caregiver benefits, but her claim was denied after he was unable to prove burn pits or other combat-related trauma had caused his illness. He tried to get... Go ahead.
No, you don't write it down. I didn't understand where... I didn't really get why, you know, it's sort of like only... When I looked later, I go like, you know, every single picture I have of this 3.5 months I spent... You know, next to the Ho Chi Minh Trail, and all the villages were gone, and you just see slabs of cement where they used to be. But every picture of where we were was dead grass, dead trees, all the leaves. And we'd just been there you'd be there 2 days and everything dies.
So
and you think you sprayed, you know, it was just everywhere.
So my
and I
point.
Think maybe
my...
for some of us, it was dry season.
So, but Roger,
my point
in all of this is that we, the American people, need to be aware and educated on what is taking place, and the answer can never just be "thank you for your service."
That's right.
We have to delve deeper into what that means.
They care more about the weaponry than they do about the soldiers. But the soldiers are the ones who have to do all this.
So before we send our children off in these lands all over the world, supposedly to fight for democracy, you really need to think twice before your son or daughter is sacrifice. Yeah.
Because, Roger, that's what it is,
a sacrificing of these human beings.
Yes, that's right. But you know what would change for that part is if we had national service in this country where everybody had to do some form of national service. One, people who have the wealth, you know, and control everything, their kids would be exposed to these things. And if that was true, they would demand better, more change. They would be on the right side. Instead, it's those other people, the suckers, who go in where half of 1% of the youth, you know, end up serving in the military. So it's easy to just disregard them. Well, they volunteered, didn't they? Well, you know, that's sort of like your fault. And it's the same thing with the gun deaths are so concentrated, but they've spread to everywhere now. But they're for a long time they were concentrated in certain neighborhoods, you know, not only but a lot there. So people tended to ignore it. But the fact is that we have politicians who, ever since, you know, it's gotten worse and worse. Citizens United, no limits on spending of donations. You know what it's like. They start fundraising 2 years before the campaign.
Right, right.
The rest of the world, you got a month, you got 6 weeks. You can't take money above X. You can't do this.
So Roger.
You know, instead, we've got paid lobbyists, and that's what they are. They're lobbyists for the gun industry, for the war industry.
Can you give us your opinion on why the American people tolerate this? Is it that we are too busy to look into what is actually happening in our government?
They have done such an effective job of making us think the abnormal is normal. But when you look at where other countries have single-digit gun deaths a year, and we have 40,000 and exploding, who knows what it's going to be this year, where we think it's okay to be in perpetual war and be in 90-some countries because the weapon manufacturers like this because we get to sell everything to everybody. War shouldn't be the norm. It should be the exception. You know, I can't, other than World War II, and maybe you can say Korea because it was a little shaky, but, you know, we ended up with dictatorships in our part of it too. But every war we fight, you know, which side are we on? I can't figure it out. But I think people are not, it doesn't affect them, or they think it doesn't. But all of this affects us. It's the quality of life. You know, the other thing they have besides lower gun death rates is you go to any country in Europe, you go to Japan, you go to most of Asia. Education is virtually free. It's sort of a commitment fee. You know, my German relatives, the Quindells of Germany, they pay $660 a year for their college education. But what they get is they get a bus pass, they get a train if they need a pass, they get their books as long as they're returned in good condition. So it's a commitment fee. It's not, you know, where you spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to get your kid educated. You know, they have health care. Everybody has health care. It's not like, oh, I'm so lucky I have a good company.
Well, you know, Roger, in this country, if you listen to people on the...
Transportation.
In this country, if you listen to people on the right, that's a handout. That's welfare.
Yeah. It's not a handout. It's about society's obligation to do the best you can for as many people as you can. They don't have... We have more prisoners than anyone in the world. We have more gun deaths than it's just a staggering amount of gun deaths. The only places they're worse is where that are run by gun criminals that we get, and we're the ones who
arm them.
Weapons.
Yeah, no. Listen, we've got to go to break. We'll be right back. Roger Quindell, 844-967-2789. What do you say? We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Roger, you know, there's so many different topics and things that I like to talk about and bring our listening audience information about various topics. You know, here's another one. And maybe you can help me understand it, because I don't, for the life of me, understand it. And this is to deal with health. There's a new cancer drug that makes history as rectal tumors vanish in all the trial participants. You know, one of the most dangerous cancers in the world is rectal cancer. And it's almost a guaranteed death sentence. And pancreatic cancer. And it's something that can't be identified early on. Well, they found a medicine, Roger, that works, you know, 6 months after the treatments. You know, the patients, you know, 25 patients that they tried showed no evidence of the tumors, and their lives were forever changed and saved. And that's a great thing. That's a great idea. But Roger, it costs $11,000 per, you know, treatment.
Yes.
So $11,000 per treatment. Many of us know that all of these discoveries that they find in the medical field are supported financially by we, the taxpayers.
Yep.
So explain to me, Roger, why they're allowed to do that. Why they're allowed?
But everything is a for-profit industry. Why don't we, if you want to solve the gun violence problem, why don't you put the cost of gun violence into the weapon? Basically, they're going to insure all the $300 billion a year for medical bills for gun-related violence. If you put that into the weapons, they'd be rather expensive, wouldn't they be, in a licensing fee? But instead, they ask the public to pay for it. The same thing with, you know, manufacturers produce things, tell you they're safe, and then they get used on soldiers, and we end up with hundreds of billions of dollars in cost, and once again, the taxpayers. And it's the same thing here. We fund it, but when it becomes on the other end of it, it becomes private enterprise, and you have to fight with them to get them to lower the cost of these drugs. So maybe when it becomes, if you know, it's a huge market, they'll bring it down a little bit. But it's sort of like it's just a strange way of operating: social costs and private profits, and that doesn't make sense. If we're paying for it, shouldn't it be, you know, get a really good deal on it?
Well, yes, because...
No, I mean, I don't get it.
Because the people that are paying for it are the American citizens, not the major corporations, not the tax...
Right.
So, the people who own the stocks, they're not the people who are paying for it.
But it's built into everything we do. And then you say stocks. 97% of stocks are owned by the top... of individual stocks that are owned by the top 10% of people in the United States, the wealthiest 10%. So 10% own 97% of individual stocks. Think about that. You know, we're the most, you know, the most concentrated wealth in the world. You know what country that is? Russia. Top 10% own 82% of everything. But in this country, we're up to 74% and climbing. The top 10% own 4% of the wealth. Think about it. 40 years ago, you had to have $4 billion to get on you'd be the number one person on the Forbes 400, the richest Americans. And the 400th person had $93 million, not in annual income, in total assets, $93 million. Today, it costs $2.7 billion to be 400th, and the top people are in above $200 billion. So from 50 times at the top, 33 times for the 400th person, their wealth went up. How much did you make in 1982, Earl?
Well,
working at A.L. Smith.
You know, Roger.
About 25 grand? Did your wages go up to 750,000?
You know, Roger, at the end of all of this is the fact that the you'll hear Republicans talking about, you know, they want to what is the term, man, with the wealth moving around? I forgot the term that's used. Of moving the wealth from one place to another. What's the name of the
term? Redistribute.
Yeah, redistribute the wealth. Yeah.
So no, they've done that.
I know they've done it.
They've taken it from everybody.
Yes,
and it's got thrown up to the top, the elite of the elite. But I go like, well, when you have $200 billion, it's like vast sums beyond what Wisconsin, you know, all of the taxes on every single level. It doesn't even come close to that. But it's sort of like that concentrated wealth is not good for us. Because also we have concentrated political power, and that's why the fetish with guns, the dangerous chemicals, we expose the people who volunteer to go into service and defend our country, but we defend them.
Well, Roger, the concentrated wealth has come from the redistribution of the middle class's money.
That's right.
That's where they got it from.
If you were making $12 an hour in 1982, like I was, then I should be making, if you were staying in the same job, like according to them, you know, where it went up by 50, so I guess we should be making, the average factory worker should be making $600,000. And that's not exactly the case, is it?
No. You know,
I mean, if you said that was for working people, they would say, that is insane. That's ludicrous. That's nuts. And yet they think it's perfectly normal for the richest people who already were rich beyond your dreams for them to have 50 times the wealth.
Roger, do you, 40 years ago. Do you understand why people think like that? And unfortunately, the majority of the time, it's people on the right, and they somehow think they're going to be one of those people.
But we have worshipped and acted like greed was what it's about. What really this country should be about is that we take care of people, we make sure that everybody has an opportunity to be the best person they can. And if we did that stuff, we would have a dramatically lower crime rate. We would have less gun deaths and all. But we create utter chaos in the lives of tens of millions of people who live, you know, half the population lives paycheck to paycheck. Half.
You know, Roger,
they can't weather a $500 bill.
There are people who don't believe that statistic that you just talked about. But the only reason that they don't
look at it,
Roger, the only reason they don't believe that is because many of those people are fortunate enough or unfortunate enough to live off their credit, which is not that's not the best way to do things. Because at some point in time, they're going to have to pay that back.
Yeah, but if you have that all wealth is seen as a good thing. So selling guns to people is not treated any different and causing all this or, you know, certainly being the advocate of this mass murder and violence in our country. And that's not seen much different than if you create a chemical that heals people, or a chemical that turns out to be not so good, like all of the drugs that we've managed to get mass approval.
People hooked on. Hold on, Roger. You got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.